This is CliffCentral.com.
Isbuza Thursday.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Jeez. I'm so lazy at the moment. I got home yesterday. I was meant to go to gym, and there was a whole lot of stuff I needed to fit in, and I could not get it done. You know those days where you just aren't, you're like, any excuse you could find, I was like, oh, I've got to do some work. That was an excuse. I sat there and looked at my computer for all of 5 minutes. I could have gone to gym. Lazy.
Was it just yesterday or a rut?
No, it's just yesterday. No, okay. No, I'm not in a rut totally. It's just yesterday, and but I still felt bad about it. Can't be lazy. Really? No. You think it's okay? Forgive yourself?
One day?
You should only really feel bad if you then have 6 beers. Because that's what kind of happens when you're an adult. You go, oh, but I've already started drinking, so I can't go to gym now.
Yeah.
And then you're like, ah, well, what can you do?
Do people really use that as a justification?
Yes,
do
they? Yes.
Yeah, because if you're like late afternoon and you're like, ooh, I didn't finish that bottle of wine last night. Oh, should I've already started drinking? I can't go to gym now.
It's similar to when you have the intention to have a good day and then you start breakfast with a burger and then you're like, well, goes the day. Yeah. So then lunch, you fuck up. Dinner, you fuck up.
Yeah, so you just basically write off the whole experience. I was on a pretty good tip for a long while in January. And by the way, I know that a lot of people are saying this. January is over, but it seemed to have gone on a long time. I mean, I know that it's not our favorite time when it comes to, you know, money and that kind of thing. I mean, January's the worst month, right?
Well, you know, after Christmas, we are forced to come to terms with how reckless we were over December.
Exactly. And look, it just felt like it was going on and on and on.
A friend and I actually looked deep into each other's eyes last week and clutched at each other and said, we survived January. it's like we were suffering from PTSD. Like, actually, we saw through. We did it.
Absolutely.
That's what January does to you.
Well, we've made it to here. So here you are, February the 2nd.
February the 1st.
Sorry. Second month. Hopefully it's going to be a great month. It's going to be a short month.
What makes you say that?
February's always short.
Yeah, 28 days.
Yeah, most months are 30 or 31.
I'm not complaining.
You didn't know that, Tia? Is this the first time in your whole adult life that you've discovered that February's shorter than the rest of the month?
Wow,
how's that?
Two days doesn't really make a difference to me.
I got to ask you something. I know we talk a lot about these gender issues. There's an article about 10 actresses who would make a brilliant James Bond. I know Ben feels like strongly about James Bond because he's watched all of them. He knows the whole James Bond. He's read Ian Fleming. You know, he knows the story. And it seems like a whole bunch of gender activists are saying, well, now we need a female James Bond.
Isn't that Bridget Jones?
What?
Oh, God. One of the most annoying movies in existence. Yes. Yeah.
Do we have no respect for what the author wrote here? I mean, the only reason James Bond exists is because Ian Fleming wrote about James Bond, made up the character out of a number of things. And he has to be a certain kind of person to be James Bond. Otherwise, he can be... Matt Damon, what did he play?
Bourne.
Yeah,
he can be Jason Bourne. Or he can be like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. But if he's James Bond, you expect a certain thing. He works for MI6 or MI5. He's got M. He's part of the British establishment.
He's got women issues.
He talks a certain way. He's got to be a certain kind of person.
It's like, you know, just kick McDonald's door down and say, why can't I get sushi here?
Yeah. Right.
Oh.
Right. Thank you. So you don't take James Bond and go, well, we'll just turn this into a chick film. Then it's not James Bond. Write another one if you really want to, like, do something amazing. And we've got a just a super supply of these kinds of spy stories and superhero stories, and all. We've got a supply that will last us until the end of eternity. And one of those things is that James Bond has a certain kind of, you know, personality. He has a certain way of dealing with women. A lot of it is very retrograde, because that's, he was written in the 1950s and 60s into existence. And James Bond is a certain kind of man. That's part of the reason he worked at that time, and they've tried to massage in these changes over the years and make James Bond softer and softer and softer, to the point where he's almost a beta male. But he can't be a girl now. This is getting ridiculous.
This is getting ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
You know, I saw this story yesterday. I was like, what the hell are people thinking? Just create a new character then. Let's see how well it does if you make this simpering, whimpering, pathetic male who is all about feelings and, you know, wants to change the world for good rather than just getting the girl and saving the world.
Ah, but Gareth, you've got to break down the patriarchy.
Yeah, well, you can do that, but let's see how well the ticket sales go. Because, well, there aren't going to be ticket sales. I mean, part of the reason that people are so into, you know, Trump in America is because they're sick to death of this PC bullshit. Like, there's stuff that girls like and there's stuff that guys like, and sometimes the stuff that guys like isn't going to be the stuff that girls like. I don't know a lot of girls who, you know, enjoy playing Mortal Kombat or like Stallone movies. I just don't. There aren't that many, and that's fine. That's okay. And there are lots of guys who are not into soap operas. And that's okay too. I mean, I'm not saying anybody should be a certain way. But are we going to bring everything to the center so that everything's washed out and watered down and made perfect for everybody? It's never going to happen. When you try and please everybody, you end up pleasing nobody.
Well, you probably end up with Bruno Mars as James Bond.
Oh.
Because you'd be non-offensive.
Well, this is what we were talking about with the Grammys yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, kind of this middle
of the
road.
To bring Bruno Mars?
It's like, Gareth makes a great point, though. When you bring everything to the middle, it's like, you imagine being at a party and then, you're far too good looking. Can you please leave? You're making that person feel really inadequate.
You're making that fat, ugly troll in the corner feel unwelcome.
It's like, I noticed you rocked up here with champagne, French. The guy over there with the black label, the court, he doesn't like you, so could you please leave? Could everyone just stand around, have a cucumber, say nothing, and have box wine?
Imagine so that we party. Can all feel the same.
How terrible would that be, life?
I can't wait for Harry Styles to be cast as James Bond so I can watch a whole bunch of men short circuit. Heads explode.
Well, I won't even go and see it. I won't. I've kind of fallen out of love with James Bond anyway, because
was it the Daniel Craig era?
Well, I mean, he was kind of hardcore, and there was a lot about Daniel Craig that made James Bond interesting. Like, this was the first ever James Bond who was actually in shape. You know, he was actually
no,
like,
man. That pretty boy was in shape.
Which one?
Pierce
Brosnan.
He was in shape. Yeah. He was tall. He was
Pierce
lean.
Like a bit of a dad.
Yeah, like they were all.
No, he
they were
like
all
he used he used to be pretty.
They were all in shape. Daniel Craig was the first one who was buff. He was the first one that walked out in like the hot pant.
Yo, that blue tighty.
Hello, welcome.
In 2007, that made me see
Sia's just joined the conversation.
Sia's just gotten interested.
I'm like Halle Berry in the orange bikini. I could give that a miss.
Yeah. But what Daniel you just Craig. Said, I think what you just said is exactly the point. Like, whoever writes an article like that about how we need a female James Bond, I think they're actually just looking to get a reaction out of people like me. Maybe they are trying to short circuit me, because I look at it and it's not that far-fetched. I mean, even Star Wars, something I've loved from childhood, has been turned into this like woman power thing, which I don't understand, and I don't know why they had to take away something that was such a great story and turn it into this feminist novella. It spoils it. I mean, I don't dislike the female character that was in the lead for the last Star Wars. In fact, I think she's a great character. I love Princess Leia too, and she took up a major role in this last one. But it's almost like there's someone who's just like trying to just stick the needle in. It's kind of like, okay, men, let's just fuck with you because, you know, we want to just show you that we can. It's kind of dumb. It's childish. It's like, don't ruin something good because you want to get back at men. It's just bad. It's not the way you get along with people.
Well, there is a second factor to this, is that both in Bond and Star Wars, the original works are finished. So what they're doing is they're making more to keep something going. So they're looking for ideas.
Right.
In the past, they were guided by the original principle and direction. So you will get these, let's just say, deviations now because they literally are. They're clutching at straws to keep things going. And that's where these other things come in.
You know, you make an interesting point because when you've always been at the top and then suddenly the people who are at the bottom start to climb and catch up with you and they realize, oh, hang on, we can fuck with them. They will enjoy doing that, you know?
Yeah, but
like they will absolutely take
but
pleasure.
But you're not. You're just twisting and warping something that was created by someone who's better than you because this person who wrote James Bond wrote James Bond. No one else has written a better James Bond since Ian Fleming and no one will. So what they do is they take something good. And they turn it to shit. So they're being destructive, not constructive. I mean, if someone turned James Bond into a brilliant female spy, and they are, I mean, Lara Croft was around before anybody started thinking you're turning James Bond into a woman. And guys loved Lara Croft. So it's not that it's a woman. It's not that it's the patriarchy. It's not like men were on top and now they're feeling bad about not being on top anymore. It's that something good is being turned to shit. For the sake of political correctness and for the sake of some people just feeling like we can lord it over you now because, you know, you've led us to the top because that's what's happened. It hasn't like women have fought for the top position here. In this case, men have gone, please come in, open the door. That's what's happened. 20, 30, 40 years ago, women didn't have a seat at the table. And I think that's wrong. That's totally wrong. But to come in now and to fuck up things that are nice just because you can, seems to me to be like going into H&M and tearing the clothes off and breaking the mannequins. It's just dumb.
What is always interesting for me to watch is on one side you have, you know, the people saying it's time for a female James Bond. On the extreme opposite end you have like people saying what? Like they give an equally offended reaction. Either way, everybody is offended. Everybody is hysterical.
I know.
And it's always fun for me to watch both sides. It's like, look at all of you. Look at all of you getting so worked up over something like this.
But that's because you hold very little precious because you want to just keep yourself good. You know, you don't get emotional about sports teams.
I don't get emotional about things that I don't care about. And in this instance, James Bond, I could give a fuck. Like, I know nothing about it.
No,
I'm not interested. I'm not vested.
But
when it is something that I care about, I would be on either side of those two extremes.
Yeah, and then you would be the one getting upset about stuff.
Well, yeah.
So it's fun for you to watch other people.
I get that.
But look here, Star Wars, James Bond, fine. Let's leave those aside because those are fiction. What irritates me more than that is that I'm a big student of history, right? I love history. So last night I watched Darkest Hour, which is the story of Winston Churchill. And it's the story of how he mobilized Britain to get the soldiers off of the beaches at Dunkirk and back to Britain before they were basically wiped out by the Nazis. 300,000 men were saved off the beaches of Dunkirk. It allowed Britain an opportunity to reconvene, to rebuild, to pull America into the war, and ultimately to beat the Nazis. Now, this is not a fiction. And I saw an actual story in an actual newspaper about how that story, the Darkest Hour story, didn't feature enough women in prominent roles, and it didn't have enough diversity. And I'm sorry, that is not a question of let's be true to the author or let's, you know, please these people who get fanatical or offended or any of that stuff. Because this is not, I'm not offended by this at all. I'm just gobsmacked that people could be so historically ignorant. 1940s women were typists and cooks and secretaries and occasionally they would be like auxiliaries in the army, but they did none of the fighting. There was not a woman soldier around in 1940. That didn't exist. It was a non-issue because there weren't any women in uniform serving in war. It didn't happen. So when you say that there's not enough diversity or there's not enough gender equity or there's not enough women in prominent roles, you clearly don't understand history. You're trying to go back and rewrite a story that's already been written. And by the grace of God, you're not speaking German because of the people who fought in that war. By the grace of God, many of us made it because that monstrosity was defeated in World War II. So to apply today's political correctness to a story that's already finished seems to me to be absolutely pig ignorant in the worst possible way. And that's got nothing to do with like making Rey the lead character in Star Wars or talking about whether James Bond should be a woman or not. That's just historical accuracy. And at least have the respect for those people who did die fighting Hitler to not make up bullshit afterwards. You know, it would be like saying, you know, I noticed there weren't enough Polynesians fighting alongside black people during the struggle. It's just, it didn't happen. There were no Polynesians in 1976 marching in Soweto because there weren't any. That's just how it was. But this political correctness is just driving people mad. And it's this attempt to water everything down. I think we're getting to a point where there's this middle that is occupied by people like Bruno Mars. And then, you know, you have people who say, well, this is fantastic. But Etta James is over. Marvin Gaye is finished. Those guys are done. Now you've got people who take what they did really well and string it out and pull it apart and take one or two good things out of it and make something that they then cobble together as if it was original. And that's not good enough. And the same goes for stories from our history and for stories that made my childhood that I feel are being bastardized by people who don't really respect the story at all. They just want to make a political statement out of everything. That to me just is, it's just sad. It's like it's time for people to write new stories. Let's write stories that are as good, that include all of that diversity and gender equity and all of that, because it's good. We want to see that stuff. But let's not take things that already work, that are finished, and fuck them up in the interests of trying to fill that gap. Let's write new ones.
That's a very good point. To get back to a very superficial level again, it's like Ghostbusters had to become female. This Ocean's 8...
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's like, oh, we just want to be as cool as George Clooney. Why can't there be an independent movie about women who rob something?
That isn't an Ocean's franchise.
Well, I mean, why must it be a watered-down version of George Clooney and his friends who just drink coffee and look good and stuff?
Because when you take those ideas and you convert them, what you're really admitting is we can't write a better idea right now. So we'll take something that's already good and fuck it up.
Like that Ghostbusters movie was such an absolute disaster. And Ghostbusters was this cult thing from the 80s. It held a lot of cool in people's lives, but no, we must make this new one, reboot it, just for the point of making it female.
Now, why did you watch it?
I didn't.
If you don't mind me asking.
No, I didn't either.
I watched.
I read the review.
I watched those excerpts. I watched those junket thingies.
Mm.
And across the board, everyone just says a steaming pile of excrement.
Mm.
Oh.
But like it,
and nobody watched it actually. It was really a complete disaster at the box office.
It just took all the things that was cool about Ghostbusters, and you go, oh, cool, I remember that from the 80s.
And made it Amy Schumer.
And then they put Amy Schumer in there.
And there is no one I've ever met who wants to see Amy Schumer more.
Yeah, she's very annoying.
Totally annoying. All right, so anyway, there's just a little thought, because I saw this article pop up yesterday. I'm like, for God's sake, this is getting childish. Anyway, we got to get to some news. So let's find out what's happening over there and check in with Mubs on the headlines. Five things you need to know today. I've got one or two as well. What do you got, Mubs?
Well, let's begin with the fact that both Steinhoff and Deloitte are set to face a huge, huge class action suit from one of Europe's mass litigation firms. The Barents Kranz firm say that people who acquired Steinhoff shares between June 2013 and December 2017 can register online to participate in this class action suit. So back in December, the retail giant's shares plummeted over 80% after accounting irregularities were revealed. So now the legal action is being taken against Deloitte and Steinhoff, or rather for Deloitte and the role that it played in auditing Steinhoff's financial statements. The CEO, Markus Juster, resigned in the wake of the revelations, and yesterday he had to report to the Hawks on suspicion of offenses under the Prevention of Corruption Act.
Yeah, who does this guy think he is? He decided he wouldn't appear before Parliament. Like, who the hell are you, dude? You know how many people have lost their pensions because of you? You know how many people have lost their investments because of you? Do you know how many people's businesses have been ruined because they bought a couple of shares in your dumb Steinhoff? And look what's happened to them. Hmm. Look what you've done. Own it. Be a man. That's what you said in your letter. I'm going to own this. I'm going to be a man and take responsibility. Well, pitch the fuck up. I guys like this drive me crazy. He's been living the life for how long? The last 20 years?
Give or take.
Race horses, mistresses, polo estates, fancy holidays. What a life. And now when it's time to account for what you've done, because you and your company were misleading people and lying to them about what was really going on the balance sheet. That much we know is true. You don't need an investigator to say that. Now you suddenly nowhere to be found. And I bet you any amount of money, this is the guy who was sitting at the dining room table every other night saying, oh, this government is so corrupt.
Hmm.
You know? No sense of self reflection. No ability to be able to figure out how he himself was complicit in this bad stuff. None. No self-awareness. You walk past the mirror and see perfect happiness. Would never look deep down into his own soul and see the rotten corruption. Oh, that Jacob Zuma is so bad. Yeah, I'm sure, Markus Juster. I'm sure you said that. I'm sure you were like, oh, Nkandla, can you believe it? Nkandla is nothing compared to the kind of fraud that you are reputed to have brought to the table. Sure. Crook. Crooked, crooked Markus.
Oh, okay then. If you are a big fan of ANN7, get ready to. Well, I mean, it could be an emotional time coming for you. Yeah,
and fan for different reasons. Yeah.
Well, Sia, who are we to judge what people prefer to watch? Right. So MultiChoice held a media briefing yesterday to address several payments that were made to the SABC and ANN7, and then they also announced, that they're going to be removing ANN7 from their bouquet. That's it. That's it. Gone.
No.
The MultiChoice CEO saying the board has found there were some mistakes in our dealings with ANN7, but there is no evidence
of putting them on in the first place, you douchebags.
But there is no evidence of corruption or any illegal activity. Secondly, we acknowledge that we should have looked into the controversy surrounding ANN7 before public concern was raised. And thirdly, they've decided that they're not going to be renewing their contract with the TV channel.
Hmm.
Come on, Gareth, there was a time you liked ANN7 because
I loved
ANN7. Because
you
could put on the channel and laugh and laugh.
But you never, you've done the news for a long time. You've never watched ANN7 to get a breaking story, right? Apparently yesterday, while they were announcing that ANN7 is going to be taken off the bouquet, apparently ANN7 were reporting it completely differently.
Oh.
Yeah, no, they were spinning it out. They had some political analyst and Black First Land First. And
weren't they also then saying the Constitution's racist along with all these other things?
They're
sprouting some great one-liners.
I don't know that ANN7 had more than 50 viewers in any given day. I really don't. And, you know, a lot of people will say, well, you know, you're on the internet. I'll tell you, we have more than 50 people a day. We have more people than ANN7 does. That I can guarantee you. I put my head on the block that we have 10 times the audience that ANN7 does. And they're in a free-to-air TV channel and DSTV. But I don't know. I think it's very unfortunate for the, you know, those young people that they hired that they thought were going into a job in the media. They thought this is like a serious media job. I've met some of these people. They come in here sometimes asking for work. And no, they do. And they're nice people. They're not horrible people. These are young people who haven't had much experience. Mm. They'll take any opportunity that you could give them. And then they get hoodwinked by these crooks at Gupta Inc. And you don't know. You don't know you're working for like a shill.
Yeah.
You don't know you're working for a company that is there just to propagandize Jacob Zuma and the Guptas and to distract people, to willfully misinform South Africans. You don't know that when you're in there because you're some, you know, some young girl or guy and you read off the auto cue and you pretend like you're an actual news person. It's acting. You don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of jokes going around yesterday, but can you imagine being one of those people and hearing that news yesterday and now you're thinking, oh, so I'm out of a job. Mm. What must happen now? Like, it's...
Yeah, but then, I mean, we've been through that. When you're in radio, you never know when your job's
going. No. I'm just saying, so. Like, for any person at any time in your life when you're thinking, oh, fuck, now I need to find a job. It's a stressful time.
What about poor Jimmy Manye? He spent all of his own money to buy ANN7.
Well, that investment...
He'll be fine.
He should have bought Steinhoff shares.
You got a feel for that guy. I mean, that must have been his life savings because it was a big price he bought ANN7 for.
He didn't use a single cent. Anyway, Jimmy Manye is running around. He's, you know, up to yesterday, they were still saying that Frieda dairy farm is working. Nah. No, it's just unreal. They live in a different world. So watch. I would love to watch ANN7 over the next few days and just see how they report this because they're going to make up some shit.
Do you think it's going to be as drawn out as Wackett Simpson's departure from Prime Media?
Oh, for sure.
Wow. Just all kinds of sad stories and looking back on the good times.
And I really loved being on air, and it was great. Okay. But he's still on, isn't he? I mean, I heard him in Cape Town.
He's in Cape Town now.
Joburg. Sorry, I just thought whenever people talk to me about radio, they always ask me if I know the guy and have you heard he's leaving?
Where are you hanging around? The East Rand?
No, I hang out with a variety of people, but I mean, I thought you left like 2 years ago.
Okay, so a bad day for ANN7 employees, but a good day for Patricia DeLille, who gets to keep her job for now.
Okay. And she gets a bonus shower.
This is after the ANC decided to withdraw their motion of no confidence in her. And then speculation was rife that the DA would bring one of its own, but that failed to materialize, so Patricia DeLille remains in office for now. Yesterday could have been her last day, but it was not to be.
Okay.
The ANC say that it is clear that DeLille has been made a scapegoat by her party.
Ah, but you see now, if the ANC suddenly are siding with her, then we should be worried. Because why the hell would they want anyone clean? Why would the ANC want to support anybody who's done the right thing? Now I'm starting to be suspicious. I don't know if Patricia wants these guys as bedfellows.
I think they're just using the situation as yet another reason to like stick it in the DA.
Right. Causing divisions.
That's all
they
do.
Very good at that.
That's all they do.
Well, let's watch and see what happens. What else have I got for you? Let me see here. Apparently, Michelle Obama has revealed the gift that Melania Trump gave her. At the inauguration.
It's a Lila, isn't it?
No, it was a picture frame.
Close.
Oh.
A really nice Tiffany & Company blue box that Melania presented to a befuddled Michelle Obama as the Obamas greeted the soon-to-be First Lady and her husband outside the North Portico of the White House. Mrs. Obama disclosed the box's contents in a recent appearance on the Ellen DeGeneres Show, breaking her silence on an awkward moment that was broadcast live because Michelle was like, what, you're giving me a gift?
Oh, I remember that side eye
you remember?
Situation right. from the inauguration.
Yeah. Eastern European memes people galore. Are very giving.
I looked at Tiffany Blue Box. I'd accept that any day.
It'd be so funny if it really was just a picture frame of Donald.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking there's some sort of picture on there.
And then Melania makes her open it, then slaps Michelle in the ass and goes, ha-ha, gotcha. That'd be funny.
Be even funnier if Michelle slaps her back on the ass and goes, gotcha back.
Yeah.
What is wrong with the turkey?
All right. Let's see what else. A lot of people talking about Trump's State of the Union, but we won't talk about that. And Jacob Zuma has made representations to the NPA on corruption charges. This guy does not give up. He does not give up. And he is convinced that as long as he can use any legal avenue available to him, he is going to use it. He doesn't understand that he's going down. And he's using our money still. Because he's president, you see, so his legal defenses don't cost him a thing. Costs us money. So there's some things you need to know this morning. Let's check in with Ben and see what's going on in the world of sport and hopefully find a sports event or a team or a result that you'd be happy with this morning. Right, Ben? Take it away.
Right. So, Steven Spielberg, we spoke about him yesterday. Turns out he is going to Pyeongchang, but not to compete.
What?
SASCOC said they will send one skier. So they're sending a guy called Connor Wilson. Connor Wilson is a 21-year-old from Johannesburg who is ranked 54th in the giant slalom and 71st in the slalom in the world.
Get out of here, man. Shit, I'm saying.
SASCOC, the center of excellence, which is SASCOC, former home of fat bastard Tubby Reddy, believe that they'll only send people who are going to be competitive. Okay. So anyway, CBS Spielman will go as a technical advisor, which is basically like saying, here's a ticket, just please leave so we don't get any more bad press. Well, that's SASCOC, at least you can pay for a ticket.
Wow.
You can't then compete. Again, it's like, I don't mean to dog these guys and sound so negative, but if he's going there, who's it going to kill for him to compete? He's qualified to compete. So how about just let him go in the slopes there? Now, I read some on my blog yesterday that the Winter Olympics is one of those times where you see real amazing heartwarming stories. Jamaican bobsled team.
Yeah.
Do you think the country of Jamaica says, like, don't go, you're not going to win? One of the greatest sporting stories ever told. There was a movie about it. Eddie the Eagle. I mean, that guy was, I mean, I know he looked like a pedophile, but he had a heart of gold and he actually achieved something in life. He went to the Winter Olympics. Did he win? No, he came stone last. They made a movie about it. People love these kind of stories. It's really good for sport.
And can't we crowdfund this dude into going?
Well, SASCOC have got to allow
him into the team.
They won't physically allow him to participate, even though he has qualified by standards. I know these standards are pretty low, but...
What a bunch of losers.
But it's just, these guys just hate, they hate good press. They hate good press and they hate, well, they just... Football.
Yeah, let's move on.
That's the sport played in this country. And if it's played by SuperSport United right now, well, not very well. So Eric Tinkler, this guy, someone should be on cardiac arrest watch with this guy. He is fuming at the moment and has been for a couple of months now. Al-Mazrui beat SuperSport United 1-0 last night. But the big surprise / story, now we all know that Turkish madman with the crazy eyes, Muhsin Ertegal, he came back to coach Ajax for like the 28th time. And straight away, he looked like he was doing something for this team. Well, last night in drought-stricken Cape Town, Ajax Cape Town beat Orlando Pirates 3-0.
Oh.
And Pirates are looking okay this season, but 3-0, what a hammering. In the Premier League last night, talking of hammerings, well, Chelsea got one. They absolutely got stuffed by by Southampton. Look at that. Sorry, Bournemouth. Bournemouth went to Stamford Bridge.
You changed your mind a couple of times there.
Yeah, I've got my glasses today. Sorry. I was in a rush and I left. You'd be impressed how much of this I'm actually getting. So Bournemouth went to Stamford Bridge and hammered them 3-0. Stoke and Watford were 0-0 draw. And then Man City, they extended their lead to 15 points with 13 matches to go by beating West Brom 3-0. Tottenham's hammered Man United 2-0 as well. So big change-ups in the top there, just kind of solidifying the fact that it is Man City's title. So 15 points because, you know, they were teetering almost in like a single point lead. But 15 is where you want to be. Arsenal, well, the only thing they can do is really just spend money. So Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, he is now going to play for Arsenal. Which means they...
Interesting name. Where is he from?
Borussia Dortmund. That was the club he came from.
Okay.
Nationality, I don't know, Gareth.
Just an interesting name.
Just haven't really looked past that because it's one of those stories that, well, okay, yeah, Arsenal breaks the bank for a player, but they're getting hammered by Swansea. So as much as it's so cool to support a club and you see new players come in, this guy's going to be ineffectual. I mean, he can be amazing, but in that team, who knows? Mesut Ozil has signed a new contract, so at least he's staying, of course, because most people are still reeling from the fact that Sanchez has left Arsenal. It's a sad day for them. And the Proteas today will be the first game against the Indians. They're playing in Durban for the first ODI, first of six. And Eben de Villiers, well, unfortunately, he sustained a hand injury. His wallet fell on his finger, and he can't play for at least three games now.
His wallet?
Well, yeah, it's just a joke about him getting 20 million rand from the IPL.
Oh, there we go. Sorry.
So he'll be out for the first three ODIs, hopefully back for the fourth one, which is the pink ODI at the Wanderers. But who is going to play in his place? Well, Eden Markram, who's been the sensational young talent who's made his mark already in the Test arena, he's being touted for the spot. But Kaya Zondo is also in the mix. Kaya's been okay. I mean, let's be honest, he hasn't been like incredible. He hasn't been a Fehan Behardin domestically. And in this year's One Day Cup, he's only averaging 39.28 with a strike rate of 65.63. That is not good enough. And this is a guy who's meant to take over for Evie de Villiers. Well, the Indians must be watching this and going, yay. JP Duminy is back in the team. He seems to be okay at this format of the game, so much so that when he left the Cobras yesterday, well, they fell to absolute crap. We'll get to that in a second. And David Miller, of course, he's very, very good. And ladies seem to like him too. In the Momentum One Day Cup, so the Warriors went through against the Titans. And then yesterday, the Cobras, like I said, fell to pieces with their batting lineup showing absolutely no strength whatsoever. So the Dolphins go through, they'll take on the Warriors, and that'll be Friday. Friday will be the big final for that. Winter Olympics news, it is 7 days away, and that means that 7 days until Russia do not compete at the Winter Olympics. But Uncle Vlad said that he is sorry that he wasn't able to shelter his athletes and his citizens from the evils and harm of drugs. So what's Vlad going to do? Well, he's going to have his own Winter Olympics for his Russian athletes in Sochi. What a nice guy.
Wow, that's interesting.
So while the world competes for Olympic medals and all the accolades and stuff like that, Vlad's going to do his own at the venue for the last one.
You've got to admire this guy, right?
Every day of the year, this guy just walks into rooms and just throws his cock on the table and says, right, we're going to do this. Can you imagine that? He's having his own Winter Olympics. Just for his people.
Hey, listen, if you can wrestle a bear, you can do whatever you want.
Did you see what he did the other day? Vladimir Putin, you know, in Russia, they've got this thing when the Epiphany, which is one of the dates in the Christian calendar, the Epiphany rolls around. They walk into icy cold water. They have these kind of setups on ice lakes. And what you do is you walk down the stairs into the icy cold water and you walk up the stairs on the other side. But you go in like a pair of underpants. And so all over Russia, you got people who do this. So Vlad is like, I'll do mine on camera. I'm not scared.
Oh, no.
Vlad gets into his Speedo and he
walks. A treat.
He walks down the stairs into this ice cold water. He like splashes some of it on his head, rubs it all over his torso, and then walks out the other side. And he like gets a towel and dries off and then goes off to church. He means business, this Vladimir Putin.
And his penis did not change in size at all. No. Unlike mere mortals, the cold shrivels you up.
But in a dick swinging contest, who do you think believes they have the bigger dick between Vlad and Donald?
Oh, they both believe.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's like a world where if you brought together matter and antimatter, that it would annihilate itself. They both believe they're the biggest dick in the room.
And finally, it is the Super Bowl this weekend. I think the Super Bowl's got to do with sports. But from what I see, it's about Tom Brady's diet, pop stars trying too hard, and really expensive adverts. But just a couple of quick stats. Over the Super Bowl weekend, $62 million worth of avocado will be sold.
Wow. Guacamole,
$60 million worth of sandwiches. $32 million worth of pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Vegetable trays, $13 million. Salads, $81 million. Chicken wings, $80 million worth of chicken wings will be sold the Super Bowl weekend. And just your casual deli platters, $23 million as well. And just straight up guacamole, guys. So even post the avocado, $3 million worth of guacamole for
That's
this weekend's
unreal.
Super Bowl. Which is the New England Patriots versus the Eagles of some place. And Tom Brady's 40 and he's still playing. And because,
Tell Ben doesn't give a shit.
Like, and Giselle apparently has been asking Tom Brady to retire because he doesn't want him to turn into like, a head case with concussions. But Tom Brady thinks he can play into his 40s. So it goes to show people, supermodels are boring as hell. Tom Brady will play until 50 if he can. So if you ever think that's the life, look at Tom Brady. He's fighting concussions on a daily basis just so he doesn't have a conversation with that woman. And there you have it. That's your sport for today.
Hey guys, speaking of the Winter Olympics, check out how Australia won its only gold in the Winter Olympics. It's quite a funny story.
I'll quickly tell it to you. Speed skating. They go around in that little circle.
Yeah.
The Aussie guy just hung back and he waited for the Asians to fall over and he slid through.
That's fantastic.
That's the story in 5 seconds.
And he won.
Yeah.
He won gold.
I'll actually put that video on my site today. It is brilliant.
Someone says Aubameyang is Gabonese. So he's from Gabon.
Yeah.
And someone else says, guys, Amy Schumer wasn't in the Ghostbusters movie. But I watched it, and I somehow remember masturbating halfway through the movie. That's how bored I was.
Amy Schumer definitely wasn't in it if you were masturbating.
Well, I mean, if you were that bored, then Amy Schumer might as well have been in that movie.
Well, it was a fucking terrible. There was Melissa McCarthy. There was Kristen Wiig. There were, yeah, that's all I can remember off the top of my head.
Melissa McCarthy's that, she's the big girl.
Yes. And that loud actress from Saturday Night Live.
Sarah Jessica Parker?
Is SJP actress? Loud. No, black actra, actress.
Actora?
Actra.
Yeah.
That word.
Just go to IMDb.
And let's find the cast.
Well, let's just go to IMDb and actually look at the rating.
Sarah Jessica Parker has got to be one of them.
You know,
she's not aging
Leslie
well.
Jones, that's what I'm thinking
Leslie
of.
Jones.
And she's Kate
the,
McKinnon.
When you start off with that loud woman.
Yeah, she's always like, can't even hear what right. she's saying.
So anyway, what were the ratings on IMDb? Did they give it any score at all?
Well, it's more than
5.3 out of 10. Okay, sorry, that is quite high. I thought it was like 0.7.
That's high?
Well, it's obviously crap in the greater scheme of things, but that it's higher than I thought.
Listen, if you give something 5 out of 10, that means you would have pretty much done just about anything else. Because it means it's so average, you could have made tea, or you could have read a book, or yeah.
Even on Rotten Tomato, it got 74%.
Huh.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you know what's not getting average reviews what? Is the new Black Panther movie, and you know we've got a couple of
that's
South Africans.
Doing very well.
We've got a couple South Africans in that one.
16th of Feb, that's when
doing
it releases.
Very
here,
well.
So.
Yeah, good reviews so far.
All right, we've got to go and see that one. Mm-hmm. All right, listen, 6 minutes to 7. TheCentral.com. We've got to get to Sia, said by Sia right
and
now.
And crypto first?
Oh, you want the cryptos?
Do you want the crypto?
I'm all over the place.
Yeah. Oh,
all right. Let's see if we've got any less or any more money than we had yesterday if you're into cryptocurrencies. We'll start off with Bitcoin. I just don't know that this is good news.
Oh,
this
no.
whole week has been shitty, really. In fact, the last 3 weeks have been shitty. So Bitcoin currently trading at $10,073.40. Ethereum is trading at $1,132.61. And who else do you care about? Do you Bitcoin Cash, Neo, Monero, Bitcoin Gold, Ripple, IOTA? What do you want?
Monero.
Monero is trading at $275.11. It's low. It's really not great. It's not the lowest of the low. I mean, we're not talking about the worst period in Monero history. It's still right up there if you compare it to like August last year.
Guys, I actually think we're doing this cryptocurrency update wrong. We should be speculating wildly because that's what it's all about.
Right? Okay.
So we should be making outlandish statements and saying really like,
okay, buy IOTA now because that's going to go up.
Yeah. I mean, I believe that this is one of those steadies before the big run. So, I mean, end of Feb is going to be ridiculous. It'll be through the roof again. So we just got to set through this period and we'll be fine.
All right, there we go. Some financial advice from Ben. I just want to warn you, if you take financial advice from any of us, you need your head ready.
Yeah, it should come with a bit of a disclaimer, truth be told.
All right, Sia, what do you got for us?
Well, this morning, if you are part of the crew who've recently failed at something, and I'll put my hand up on this, whether it is your New Year's resolutions that you've set out to accomplish and you just didn't make that happen, or you failed at landing your dream job or acing an important test, you know how disheartening failure can be. So Q Will Smith, he recently posted a video on Instagram and he wants you to be rest assured that there's definitely a silver lining in those moments of failure. So in a video on Instagram, he says that we should fail early, fail often, and fail forward. He posted this a few weeks ago, and basically in the video, he also shares a hang-up he has.
That's what's been written in every single corporate book out of Silicon Valley in the last 7 years.
And why are we still not taking this to heart?
I don't know, but you know, Will can't make this sound like it's his idea.
Love this one. He's not claiming it, but yeah, definitely. He also shares a hang-up he has with the way people tend to deal with being unsuccessful. So here's a clip of him from Instagram recently.
By the way, do we judge Will by his brilliant movie career, which has been terrific, his music career, which has been okay, or his children?
Or his tax history.
But I also say, though, his movie career recently hasn't been all too fantastic.
Oh, Gareth, the fact that he's got all of those things that should be making him a great superstar person.
What? But you think he killed Tupac.
Stop it right now.
Stop it.
All right, here he is.
Positivity for a minute.
Will Thank Smith, you. Everybody.
Love this one. Fail early, fail often, fail forward. You know, it's always a little bit frustrating to me when people have a negative relationship with failure. Failure is a massive part of being able to be successful. You have to get comfortable with failure. You have to actually seek failure. Failure is where all of the lessons are. You know, when you go to the gym and you work out, you're actually seeking failure. You want to take your muscles to the point where you get to failure, because that's where the adaptation is. That's where growth is. Successful people fail a lot. They fail a whole lot more than they succeed. They extract the lessons from the failure, and they use that, the energy, and they use the wisdom to come around to the next phase of success. Gotta take a shot. You have to live at the edge of your capabilities. You gotta live where you're almost certain you're gonna fail. The reason for practice. Practice is controlled failure. You're getting to your limit, getting to your limit, getting to your limit. You can't lift that. You can't do that. Until you get to the point that all of a sudden your body makes the adjustment, and then you can do it. Failure actually helps you to recognize the areas where you need to evolve. So fail early, fail often, fail forward.
All right. I think he's spot on, actually.
With that backing track, though, that just sounds like one of his new songs.
Will hasn't released it.
That was it. You just inadvertently played Will Smith's new single.
Decades.
No.
So once again, is that another idea where we should be getting some money?
In West Philadelphia, born and raised.
You got a fail. Just where I spent most of my days.
Gentlemen and accent, maxing on hoops.
And shooting some b-ball outside the school
when a couple of guys were up to no good. Just started making trouble in my neighborhood.
I got one little fight.
I was scared. She said, you're moving with your uncle in Bel Air.
And there's the song stuck in your head for the rest of the week. So yeah, these three.
Take that and fail off, fail early, fail off, and fail forward for today.
Some news on the way and lots of other good stuff. And later on, we'll be talking to Cyrus Knight, who's a musician that I want you to meet this morning. He is going to pop by, and we may even get some music out of him. We'll see how it goes. Good morning. Thursday, the 1st of February.
This is CliffCentral.com.